Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Cleveland.com. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, guys.
Do you have your fire extinguisher?
No, I don't.
Well, the Cavs are a dumpster fire. Someone's got to put this thing out. Come on.
In the short term, yes, they are.
Help me here. Come on, help me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a way to help them in the short term.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, this is, unfortunately, one, this is something that rebuilding teams have to go through. And two, like, they don't have enough healthy, playable guys to make it matter enough when it comes to their win-loss record or on the scoreboard.
Well, Chris, you're exactly right that they're a young team. They're shorthanded. It's an absolute blow to not even have Kevin Love available and then to have the Drummond situation go down, Larry Nance. Like, they have some excuses. But yep. Do you have excuses to get blown out in every single game by 20? That doesn't happen in this league.
Like, I'm not 100% sure that they're excuses. I think they're valid explanations for a majority of these losses that they've had recently. Now, yesterday against the Thunder was completely different. And I think that's the one that if you want to look at the stretch that they've had and you want to say, hey, look, you know, Denver's way out of their league, Milwaukee way out of their league, Portland, same thing, the Los Angeles Clippers, you know what I mean? But when you are at home against the Oklahoma City Thunder, even Jared Allen said it after the game, that's essentially like looking in a mirror. Like, that's the one that you can't get blown out. That's the one that you can't lose by double digits. That's the one that's supposed to be on your same level. That's the team that you're supposed to be able to compete with. That's the team that you did compete with early on in the season and you beat early in the season. So I can understand the frustration and the disappointment and the anger after yesterday's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Everything else that has happened, and I don't know that this means it's okay, and this is something that I've been struggling with for the last 2 weeks, basically, when it comes to covering this team. Everything else that has happened with them over the last 2-3 weeks, based on injuries, based on schedule, based on reality, it's completely explainable. I really believe that it's explainable. I just don't know that it makes it okay, and I don't know what we're supposed to do with that.
Chris Fedor joining us on the show. I'm not laughing about what you responded with, Chris. I'm laughing about something else that I could hear while you were giving your answer. I could hear him breathing in the microphone, and it's a little bit weird. Chris, I mean, because we were asking this earlier, and I don't mean to be and we make jokes at each other's expenses all the time. Each other's expense all the time. You know damn well I put a lot of lipstick on a lot of pigs in brown seasons hit past.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and be mean and nasty about the Cavs and their build. So I like what I see out of Jared Allen. I want to see more out of Darius Garland. But hey, he had 21-8 last night. What's he averaging? 15.5 per night? He only played in what? Four and a half basketball games 2 years ago in college. Didn't get a full season last year. Like, there are things that are explainable here. But it just seems to be so weighty for a lot of fans where if the Browns are terrible, they have a plan. If the Indians are bad, it's a little different, but they try to have a plan. With the Cavs, it's like, well, I guess we just have to look forward to a lottery and hope we get lucky again, and then Bill Simmons is going to kill us if we actually win the lottery this time. That's tough. It's tough for a fan, Chris.
I get it. What they're going through is really, really difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy to do. there are teams that have been going through rebuilds for a decade, basically, right? Like the Denver Nuggets went 6 years without going to the playoffs when they lost Carmelo Anthony. The Phoenix Suns have been rebuilding until basically this season when they finally got Chris Paul and they started to turn the corner and now they're a playoff team. So it's just a really, really difficult process, and there's no guarantee that they get this right. It's interesting, though, because when the Browns were going through everything that they were going through, I think you guys know that I was still in support of what they were doing, and I still looked at that situation and said, all right, even though they're 1-31, that doesn't mean the rebuild's a disaster. That doesn't mean everything's a disaster. That just means that they're not good enough to win games, because winning games in sports is a measure of you against the other guy. That's the reality of it. And the Browns against the other guy, it just wasn't going to happen for them to win those games. But that didn't mean that there weren't things that were happening that were good and that were going to be beneficial in the future. I feel the same way when it comes to the Cavs. There are things, I think, that have been good this year for them. Colin Sexton has been really good this year. He's taken that, quote-unquote, third-year leap. Jared Allen looks like a foundation piece, and he's the kind of guy that you absolutely have to have if you're going to be committed to the Darius Garland-Colin Sexton backcourt, and there's no guarantee that they are. Larry Nance Jr. fits really, really well in the starting lineup. So, like, if you start looking at what the core is and what the future could be, I think it's fair to say that there are good things happening, even though they look like a disaster on the court against some of these better teams. I think the biggest question that is looming over the franchise when it comes to the big picture plan is, okay, it looks good. The core looks like it fits together with Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, Isaac Okoro, Larry Nance Jr., and Jared Allen. But the question is, how good can that core be eventually? So, like, yes, you can be saying that you're going in the right direction, and it makes sense to say that, but how good is that direction going to lead you to?
How much of this is fixed when Kevin Love comes back?
Man, I think in the short term, he's going to help a lot. If you think about some of the issues that they're having, they're one of the worst defensive rebounding teams in the NBA. They are the worst offensive team in the NBA. They are last when it comes to three-pointers made, three-pointer shot. Kevin obviously helps in those particular areas. I think the best way to explain it, guys, when it comes to Kevin Love, he is the one entity that raises their ceiling and the floor that they have all at the same time. Him and Larry Nance Jr. do that together. The other thing is, like, at the beginning of the season, the Cavs were committed to trying to run offense through their bigs, including their power forwards, to let them be a hub of the offense. And if you take Kevin Love out of that equation, if you take Larry Nance Jr. out of that equation, you take a way that you can function better than you have offensively. So I do think in the short term, Kevin Love is the kind of guy that can help fix some of these issues. But how much is he going to help? And is it going to all of a sudden lead them to winning 25, 30 games or something like that? No, I don't believe that's the case.
How badly does Kevin Love want out of here?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year he wanted out of here. He was annoyed. He was frustrated. He made that known. I think there were times at the beginning of the season where he was excited about what was going on and he wanted to be on the court, and you could see him jumping up and down and celebrating. And you could see a guy who was itching to be a part of what the Cavs were doing, and that was when they were being successful. I think the bottom line for Kevin at this stage of his career, 32 years old, he's been injured a bunch. It's been a lot of different injuries. I think he can probably see the summit, and I think he wants to get back there if he can. I think he wants to be on a winning team at this stage of his career, and I don't blame him for that. Because there's probably not going to be a lot more opportunities for him to try and chase that championship or be on a successful team. So I do think he wants to be. I don't think anything has changed from that front. Because being in a rebuild, especially at the age that he is in, especially after you know, 4 years of being on the greatest team in the Eastern Conference, I think that can really, really mess with you mentally.
All right, we're about to halfway point for somebody like Okoro, fifth overall pick. What is the evaluation so far for the young kid?
Yeah, so far, if we're being fair, he has not been good. For the fifth overall pick, he has not been good. But at the same time, like, they didn't draft him to be rookie of the year type player. 19 years old, starting from day one, guarding the best players in the NBA, clear limitations on the offensive end, quickest turnaround in history of the NBA for any kind of rookie. Like, that didn't speak in any way to quick success for that type of player. I think he's obviously got to be better offensively. He's got to be more of a weapon offensively. He hasn't been as good defensively, but I think there are a lot of things tied into that. We had a lot of these same conversations last year about Darius Garland, and I think the reality was all the numbers that pointed to Darius being the worst player in the NBA, and those numbers were true. I think there were a lot of circumstances tied into that when it came to Darius, and I think the same goes for Isaac Okoro. I wouldn't give up on him yet. I think this was a pick more so for the future. If they wanted somebody who was going to help them immediately, there were other guys that made more sense or be more of a factor early. Those guys made more sense. But this was all about what is it going to look like 5 years from now when this really, really good defensive player who contributes to winning gets some semblance of an offensive game. And that wasn't going to happen as a rookie.
We just saw the T-Wolves out of nowhere fire yep. their head coach and then hire somebody from a different staff. Just an yep. absolute rarity. But it shows you that teams in that league, they hit the panic button so fast. Now, I don't see them doing that with Bickerstaff, but the question is his boss. Right now, Kobe Altman is getting skewered around the NBA and here locally by some. How patient will Dan Gilbert, who we don't hear from right now, how patient are they going to be with everything?
Well, if we just go by history, guys, patient and Dan Gilbert, it is not synonymous. So anything could happen when it comes to Dan Gilbert as the owner of this. At the same time, I mean, I think Kobe has some things that he can stand on at this point in time. The Jared Allen trade was brilliant. It was awesome. It was exactly what the Cavs needed. Colin Sexton, getting him with the eighth overall pick, he can stand on that. Darius Garland is a huge question mark, I think, moving forward. That's one that stands out as it could be disruptive to what the Cavs were trying to do from a building standpoint, and it could be held against Kobe. But it's like, I think we have to evaluate Kobe if we're being fair. And I said the same things about Sashi Brown, and I got skewered for it when it came to Sashi Brown, and I get it. It's
good.
Really, really hard in a rebuild. It's really, really hard when it looks like a disaster on the court in the short term. But I think we have to evaluate the individual moves made independent from the results that we're seeing on the court. Like, this team is not ready. If you're judging Kobe Altman, if you're judging J.B. Bickerstaff, if you're judging this rebuild, and you're trying to do it fairly, this team is not ready for sole judgment based on a win-loss record. They're not ready for sole judgment based on competitiveness against the best teams in the NBA. They're not ready for judgment based on the scoreboard. That's just the truth of where they are in this particular rebuild. So I think if you want to do it fairly, you have to evaluate the individual moves. And if you want to look at those and then say Kobe hasn't done a good enough job, then I think that argument can be had. But that's the argument, not, you know, 10-21 and getting blown out by some of these teams, to me anyway.
Chris, we thank you for the time. All the best to you and yours.
You got it, guys.
Thank you very much. Chris Fedor, North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Fedor. And I didn't mute him, by the way. I did not mute him.
That's
I thought
well,
I
did. Two guests today. Huh?
No, I didn't mute him in the first place.
Sure,
I thought
right.
I did.
Okay, sure. I almost believe you.
Well, I'm sorry. You didn't want it differently. That's what it is. That's what it was. Sorry.
When you let it slip out that you muted him.
There was a time, yes. But I have since changed that.
Daryl, yeah, you've unmuted him during the interview.
No, it wasn't during the interview. It was before that because I went and looked. Okay. And I went, oh, I already didn't mute him. Mm-hmm. Daryl is still muted. 216-578-0092. Up next, Owen has a dog problem. We have a finish to the poll about whether or not you'd answer if your wife called during something big. Going back from Max Homa, who won a golf tournament over the weekend. And you may be going elsewhere to see Monday Night Football. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.